The speech that follows is from a debate conducted in the Los Angeles area of California by Brother Homer Gay in the mid-1950s. This discussion not only demonstrates Brother Gay's ability to deal with error, but also provides us with a sample of his wit and humor. We pick up the speech as he deals with an argument concerning the Jerusalem church.
Well, let me see. Concerning that Jerusalem church over there, he told us about all those thousands, you know, that were converted over there and wants to know how that they had that communion service. Now, I've had a discussion or two with these brethren on other things, and when we get to the class question, they go to work to divide up that Jerusalem church and argue that it would be impossible, that they didn't build houses big enough for them to all get in over there, and therefore they had to have them out in classes over yonder. Now, I just wonder which time you want us to meet your argument. Which time do you want us to believe you? When they go to have the communion service, or when they go to having the teaching service? When they're having the teaching service, they tell us that would be impossible to get them all in one house. They didn't build houses big enough. Now, the Bible says over here in Luke 2 and in Acts 2 and 46 that they broke bread from house to house. As far as I'm concerned, I'm willing to believe that. Yes, sir. One of the brethren said, well, you'd have to have some meat along. I believe they did. Well, he talked about that terrific speed that they had to travel with. Well, somebody had to travel with some speed because they broke bread in their homes. And if all of those 10,000s over there lived at home during that time and all stayed in the temple all day, now somebody had to do some switching around there. How could they be at both places at the same time, brother? Now that gets a fella in a bad fix. The best thing in this world to do is just to believe the gospel and obey it. Well, but the brother says we can't have the exact cup that Jesus used back over there. Now, I'm glad that he admitted that Jesus used one. Why, everybody has to. He admitted that Jesus had a cup, and that the contents of that cup was the fruit of the vine. But he said we can't have that cup that Jesus had. Brother, neither can we have that fruit of the vine. Oh, but you say we still make fruit of the vine. We still make cups, too, and they've got them down to a small size. And some of them say, well, you folks have a glass. Well, you do too. And your cup doesn't have a handle on it. Neither does yours. And your proposition says that the scriptures authorize the use of a plurality of cups, drinking vessels, in the communion service. And you didn't read one verse of scripture. You couldn't read it if your life depended upon it. If you were twins, you couldn't read it. It isn't there. No, sir. It is always the cup. And that cup, gentlemen, is from the Greek word poterion. There, it tells us over there on that page 533 that he told you about a while ago. And he says of the poterion, a cup, a drinking vessel, the vessel out of which one drinks, also used for the contents of the cup. That's right. And how could you have the contents of the cup if you didn't have the cup, brother? How could you have the contents of the cup if you didn't have the cup? That's the only way you can have the contents, is by having the container to contain the contents. Well, certainly so. Well, we hasten on with the gentleman's speech now. If you'd like to hear the true gospel preached in its purity and simplicity, and we may talk some more about this sometime during the meeting, I'm beginning the meeting Lord's Day morning over at 55109 Fernwood and Atlantic Boulevard in Compton. And we'd be very glad to have you come over there. We'll be there for 2 weeks. We'll just treat you so nice that you'll want to come back. Certainly so. But now then, he comes over to 1 Corinthians 11 and 25, and he talks about drinking the cup. Now, Jesus took the cup. I suppose my mouth is big enough to record when I get back here to the board. Jesus took the cup. I wonder why he didn't put this out here. I don't know why that they're so afraid of that. That Jesus took. He took the cup. Now, friends, he took the cup. And Moffat says there was handed him a cup. He took a cup which was handed to him. There's something that's handled here. He took the cup. And as Brother Osborne said, that was not an empty cup. That cup had something in it. Now, brother, you can't drink your cup there. You have some of them here, but you can't drink it tonight. You don't have anything in them. How do we drink the cup? Now, Thayer says we drink the cup by drinking what is in the cup. Now, I can. We drink the cup by drinking what is in the cup. You can't do it. You don't have anything in your cup. And yet you assign yourself to a proposition that requires of you to prove that the Scriptures authorize the use of a plurality of these things in the communion service. And you dodge from it from beginning to end. They'll always do that. I've never seen them that come and face the issue and get out and try to prove that the Bible teaches. They talk about the unreasonable thing. That's what your proposition called for. Your proposition called for a plurality of cups. Why didn't you talk about them? Well, it's easy to see he didn't know anything about them to talk about from the Word of God. Well, it takes up a number of those scriptures that Galen referred to there and talks about them, which we shall notice now in just a few moments. But we want to notice the other things that he said. Now, he said, who made the division? Who made the division over this? Well, there's one thing we can be sure of. One cup didn't make any division, because we worshiped in peace and harmony for nearly 1,800 years using one cup. There never was any division over the cup. There can't be any division over the cup, brother. You have to have as many as one. You couldn't have any division over the cup question. You have to have as many as one. But brother, you don't have to have all these others. You don't have to have them. Now, you talk about your incidentals. There they are. There they are over there. Yes, sir, and non-essentials besides. Non-essentials over, this is essential. You have to have that. He talked about the baptistry. Why, certainly. What about the walls that hold that water in its place? That may be made of stone. It may be of concrete or earth. But without those walls holding that water in place, you couldn't baptize an individual. You can go down to the bay down there where the water is no more than ankle deep, though there are billions of barrels of it, and you couldn't baptize a person. You must have something to hold that in its place to make it deep enough in order to baptize a person. Now, in that sense of the word, that holds the water in its place is just as essential as the water. Now, brother, in that sense of the word, the cup is just as essential as its contents. How essential is the cup? Just so essential that you can't worship God without it. You can't worship God without it. Now, brethren, that you can't worship God without becomes a part of the commandment. Now, talk about somebody being stuck on the cup, you know, and worshiping the cup, making contention for the cup. Now, if we are bad about that, what about you? Now, we contend for one, and he contends for thousands of them. Thousands of them. And we have scripture for what we contend for. We can read that in the book. And he can't find it, not one place in all the Word of God can these brethren find their cups in there. No, sir, they can't. Well, but he went to the scriptures over here dealing with the communion service. And I'm glad that he did that. I appreciate anybody that will go to the scripture. And the record says that Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, and they all drank of it. Now, brother, there's the all, the disciples, and the it that Jesus took. He took the cup. Now, Jesus took the cup. What did they drink? They drank the cup by drinking what was in the cup, Thayer says. And as all smart men will tell you, that we drank the cup by drinking what the cup contains, and in no other way. Now, Jesus didn't take the fruit of the vine. He took the cup, but the fruit of the vine was in the cup. And he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. But he goes to Luke 22 and 14, and I noticed he didn't make that argument on take this and divide it among yourselves, maybe, that they figured it wouldn't work. As I showed last night, that is the very thing that my cup's brethren don't want, that they don't believe. When they go to that and say, take this and divide it among yourselves, the disciples were doing the dividing. But now with these things, the fellow that waits on the table does the dividing. He divides it here before the service ever starts. He does the dividing, and the disciples don't have any chance to do any dividing at all. They just take what's given, no more and no less. That's all with them. Thank you. I appreciated his appeal for unity. I believe in unity. I love unity. I always pray for unity. My Savior prayed for unity. I want to tell you, if there's anything in this world that I'm interested in, it's the unity of the people of God. I want to suggest again that for nearly 1,800 years, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ walked hand in hand, stood shoulder to shoulder on the communion question, and never did we have any division over that until designing men who were wise above that which is written, came in to advocate things they could not read in the Word of God. And so division ensued. And that is the reason that we have the divided condition in the world today. So in conclusion, brethren, I want to show you why, again, that we uphold your cups over here. Now we can read in the Bible, cup, that's plain to be seen. And all of that play to try to make the fruit of the vine be the cup. Listen, brother, you know as well as I know, and everybody else who's gone to school knows, there's not a rule of language under high heaven by which a liquid can be called a cup unless it is in a cup. If we take that liquid and put it in a bottle, by the same usage of language, you'd call it a bottle. If you put it in a jug, by the same usage of language, you'd refer to the liquid as a jug. When you put it in a cup, we call it a cup, the container for the contained. And he knows that full well. So it's always cup in the Bible. But here's the thing that divides is that S over there. Yes, the trail of the serpent. Trail of the serpent over there. That's the thing that divides. It'll cause division over those all those other things that they placed up there. It's a dangerous thing. Why not stay with the Bible, the Word of God? We oppose your cups, brethren, because 1 Peter 4:11 says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. I cannot speak as the oracles of God and talk about the cups. It only mentions cup. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given with the inspiration of God and is profitable that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Word of God nowhere furnishes a plurality of cups, hence is not a good work. I oppose the cups because 2 Peter 1 and 3 says, according to his divine power, he hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He nowhere in any of his word did he teach us to use more than one cup in any one congregation in the world. So then, more than one cup doth not pertain unto life and godliness. But again, in John 10:45, I say that they are the stranger. Jesus says, they know my voice. What does Jesus' voice say? It says cup. What does the stranger's voice say? Cups. You can have a million of them, they say. Jesus took the cup, and Paul said, you do it just like Jesus did back over yonder in the 11th chapter of the 1 Corinthians letter. Again, in 1 Corinthians 4 and 6, he says, these things I have in a figure transferred to Apollos to myself for your sakes, that in us you might learn not to go beyond the things that are written. Why, oh, why do we want to go beyond the things that are written? What is written? C-U-P. S is beyond that which is written. Don't do that, brother. Don't do that. Coming on down, Matthew 7 and 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Jesus says, and I believe that, the fruit of your cups in the congregations has been strife, division, contention, and discord. Godly brethren who have labored hard to build a little meeting house somewhere many times have been driven out by others who were going to have their way. Oh, they might have said, yes, you can worship scripturally with one cup. But if you want to worship with one cup, get out of here. We're going to have more. We're going to have more. Thank you.